After the death of Christ, the Christian community recognized that if they wanted the life and the good news of the Messiah, this Jesus of Nazareth, to spread and to grow, the story had to be written down. But what do you include? St. John writes at the conclusion of his gospel that there are also many other things that Jesus did. But if these were to be described individually, I do not think the whole world could contain the books that would be written. St. Mark, being the shortest of the Gospels, implies that some obvious selections were made, which makes this weekend and last weekend's Gospel a little confusing. If you want people to join and follow the early Christian church, then you would normally include stories that speak positively about its leadership. The two stories, that of today's gospel and last week's gospel, do not fit that criteria. Last week we hear of St. Peter, the stone in which Christ established his church from ages to come, called by our Lord his adversary, Satan. And today we hear the 12 arguing along the way. Obviously, these are the stories that I would not include in the Gospels. However, notice how the sacred author pairs these accounts with the prediction of the death of our Savior. Christ reminds his people that he must suffer and die. Peter wants to avoid the situation altogether, and the 12 are arguing about a meaningless assignment of who is the greatest. They've missed the message entirely. And this is the great contrast that the sacred author is starkly revealing to us. The 12 apostles in today's gospel reveal the human condition's desire to be concerned with itself, with its own ego and its particular demands. On the other hand, Christ, the God-man, takes upon himself the logic of love, the logic of love that makes itself service to the point of self-gift. If anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. This is the logic of Christianity. Christianity responds to the truth about man created in the image of God, but at the same time, contrast it with the human selfishness, an effect of original sin. Every person is attracted by love, but we often err in the concrete ways of loving. What is originally a positive tendency is often polluted by sin, giving rise to evil intentions and actions. The letter of St. James reminds us that wherever jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, without uncertainty or insincerity. And the apostle concludes, the harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. These words call to mind the witness of so many Christians who humbly and silently spend their lives serving others for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, behaving in practice as servants of love. Sometimes, certain people are asked for the supreme testimony of their blood. In the mid-1920s, the anti-clerical articles of the Mexican Constitution sought to eliminate the power of the Catholic Church. Harsh penalties against priests included imprisonment and even death. And in such a dire time lived a great saint, Father Rodrigo Aguilar Alemán. He was a priest of the time who consecrated his priesthood to the Blessed Virgin of Guadalupe. He said, "Lord, give us the grace to suffer in your name, to seal our faith with our blood, and to crown our priesthood with martyrdom." After a warrant was issued for his arrest, he took refuge in a seminary. And when the soldiers arrived at the seminary, The seminarians fled, while Father Aguilar remained behind to destroy the names of those seminarians so that they would not be known. As they fled away, they led him to imprisonment, and his face shone with peace and joy, saying, "I'll see you in heaven." He was imprisoned and sentenced to death by hanging. And on the morning of his execution, Father Aguilar was brought out into the plaza. He blessed the instrument of his death, pardoned his captors, and even gave his rosary to one of his executioners. They placed a rope around his neck and toyed with him by asking him, "Who lives?" The answer they were looking for was, "Long live the supreme government." Instead, Father Aguilar shouted, "Christ the King and Saint Mary of Guadalupe." They hoisted it up to the point of strangulation, but let him down again and asked, "Who lives?" Again, he repeated, "Christ the King and Saint Mary of Guadalupe." Once more, to the same torment and for the third time, they asked him, "Who lives?" The agonized martyr repeated in his final breath, "Christ the King and Saint Mary of Guadalupe." You see, the sacred author must include these depreciatory stories of themselves because there is a risk of missing the message of Christian discipleship. There is no doubt that following Christ is difficult. But as he says, only those who lose their life for his sake and for the gospel will save it. We cannot miss the message of love which demands our self-gift. There is no other way of being his disciple. There is no other way of witnessing to his love and striving for gospel perfection.